Well, let's go ahead and make a start, all right? Because it's already 9:30, and for those who have taken some of the notes, if you have it from last week, we'll just be continuing from last week's one, all right? From the doctrine of hell, and hopefully it will be a challenge for us in our hearts, okay? Being in a church, being part of God's house, is to be part of His ministry as well. And so, but this doctrine of hell is very, very important. I think it's very seldom preached nowadays. With this culture of everything must be nice, but you know, one of the things, I hope you all have been reading the daily newspapers, one of the things for Christians is that you need to be in touch with what is happening. And then you will see the relevance of Bible teaching, especially for this society. Okay, the many, many things that are happening with the recent cases of immorality. Okay, and in the during the morning message, there will be one very startling statistic that I will bring up, but it's really, really... very startling, but I'll bring it out during the morning message. But hopefully all of us will have good grasps of hell and understand that it's so important. All right? Hopefully everyone's had a good rest. So maybe let's have a word of prayer, and then after we go straight into our lesson for today. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will fill this place. God, not only fill this place, but fill our hearts. Father, we ask for your intervention in our hearts. Lord, is there any work things, any tiredness, anything, Lord, that would distract us from the clear teaching of your word? I pray, Father, that you would do the necessary, as only you can. Lord, there is no way we can, we don't know what to do, Lord, with regards to the spiritual realm, but you do. And so right today, Lord, as even as we explore your word, Father, may just not be a lesson. Oh God, please. Father, it will be something, Lord, that when we bring home, they will touch our hearts. Father, we pray that thy word will never be just a lesson. Just because Brother Johnny taught, or just because someone taught, but it's because of how the Holy Spirit has taught us. Oh Lord, today, even as we hear your word once again with regards to this whole area of hell, help us to understand it's a real place. Help us to know that when people go there, they're never coming out. And help us to know, Lord, what we need to do. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, just a very quick blessing. Yesterday we had a visitor. Sister Christy brought a visitor, and she stayed with us till the night. Okay, even joined for dinner. We had games and all that. So pray for her. Her name is Caroline, I believe. Yen Yi, right? Yen Yi. Her name is Yen Yi. Okay, it's Christy's long primary school friend, and she's been in St. Margaret's for 4 years, and St. Margaret's is a mission school, but her parents say you can go to church, but you cannot become a Christian. Okay, so she did join us, and we're thankful that she did. Okay, she came to our house also. What did you watch? You watch that? Jim Elliot, yeah, that's right. We watched Jim Elliot, and hopefully all those truths that she's heard yesterday actually will simmer down into her heart, and she will be saved in due time. All right, so let's pray. Eh? God is still moving. What I want to impress on our hearts, God is still moving in an unprecedented way, still the Ambassador Baptist Church. Okay? God is still bringing people. God is still, we need to get our heads around, Lord, what do you want me to do? All right? So it will be a great encouragement to see everyone rise up. Yeah, we may have our own problems, but you know how to deal with your problems? Help other people. Think about that for a while. You know how to deal with your own problems? Help someone else. When you help someone else, you're putting your eyes off yourself and onto other people, and you'll be surprised what God can do. Alright? So let's keep just praying for each other. I know people may be going through stress, people may be going through difficulties, but there's nothing Jesus can't fix. Amen? You don't believe that? There's nothing Christ can't fix. Okay? We need to know that. We need to know in our hearts, alright, that the Lord can and will intervene when we submit to Him. Alright? Okay, let's continue in the whole area of learning about the doctrine of hell. I just go through the topics we've gone through. We talk about why study hell, because it's a Bible doctrine, because hell is eternal, because today many people no longer believe in hell. And then many Christians are unconcerned, and because people are going there, because people going there are unaware that they are going there, because God is unconcerned. I'm just running through very quickly some of the reasons why we're going through the doctrine of hell, and because it ought to stir the Christian conscience to action, and because it magnifies the love of God when He died at the cross to save people from hell. Okay, we talked about what is hell last week. Okay, the truth of hell is always the grave in the Old Testament. There are five words for hell. And we realize that in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than about heaven. Because why? He doesn't want people to go there. And he wants to keep heaven a surprise for us. Okay? And the definition of hell, all right, just very quickly. Hell is a place whereby souls that have not trusted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior to redeem them from sin, therefore death, go eternally away from the presence of God and into everlasting punishment. All right. Then we talk about the origin of hell, the purpose of hell. Right? For those who just came in, I'm just running through what we went through last week. The origin of hell, God made hell not for man. Okay, God made hell for the devil and his angels. Okay, hell was never prepared for man. Okay, and yesterday I tried to, as we were watching Jim Elliot, how he gave up his life in order to reach the Yuka Indians. Because there was a non-believer there, was able to, because in the morning we talked about how the soul is so priceless that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die for the soul so that he can be saved from hell. But during the time when we were at our place, when we watched Jim Elliot, for this particular non-believer might be a bit heavy stuff for, well, how come someone would die in order to preach the gospel? And the reality is, this person, the five young people who were saved, already had their souls confirmed in going to heaven, and so they were willing to give up their lives on earth so that someone else can go to heaven. And we know, biblically speaking, or rather we know in history, after Jim Elliot passed away, wife went in, all right, and after that, the entire village was won to Christ. Okay, even up to today, the Yuka Indians' name have been changed. The Waranis, which is actually their original name. The word Oka means savages. All right, they were known to kill people. But after they became Christians, their names were changed back to its original name called the Waranis. Okay, and today, many of them are Christians. Because why? Five young men decided they were going to give their lives, okay, for this particular purpose. So that men don't have to go to hell. All right. Okay, that's the purpose of hell. The location of hell, there's some brief indication that hell might be in the middle of the earth. All right, we don't know that, but definitely it's a place of punishment. We talk about dimensions of hell. Hell is never, ever enlarging place. And you know, the interesting thing is, because man insists on going there, God has to enlarge that place. Okay, a description of hell, fourfold description. Number one, a place of punishment. Number two, a place of torment, a place of fire, and a place of worms. Okay, today we'll be dealing with description of a person in hell. What does an unsaved man have in hell, and what does he look like in hell? Then we'll be touching also on who will be in hell, the duration of hell, the degrees of punishment, and what are some objections to this doctrine and how we can answer them. Okay, let's turn to Luke 16 as we begin. Okay, I'm just talking and rattling. I hope you would glean whatever God would lay on your hearts. It is from last week, okay, for those who just came in. You should be having a copy. If not, whatever limited stock have been snapped up. Okay, Luke chapter 16. The description of the man in hell. Okay, I'll be reading from verse 19, okay, verse 19 and onwards. And then we'll just do a little Bible study about the hell itself. And then, what is the man like when he's in hell? Okay, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Okay, what we'll do is we'll just read a couple of verses together. I'll read verse 19, you read verse 20, okay, all the way up to verse number 25, all right? Okay, Luke 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Verse 20. Desiring to feed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. 24. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Okay? Now, a few things about this particular passage first. Remember, this is not a parable. Okay? This is not a parable. Many people, many liberal theologians, many people today, in fact, I think many of the commentaries you might read say, oh, this is just a parable Jesus taught. If it's a parable, that means hell is not true. Okay, it's just a story. But it's interesting, God, Jesus actually mentioned there was a certain rich man. In other words, he was identifying a particular person. Alright, that's one thing. Number two, Jesus never used names in all of his parables. He never used names in all of his parables. In this parable, he named Lazarus and he named Abraham. But he did not name the rich man. You know why? Because God has no delight in naming the people he sends to hell. Okay? And this is very, very important, because if this is just a parable, then hell can mean anything. Alright, last week I talked about the fact that I think Robert Schuller who said that hell is just... No, not Robert Schuller. I can't remember now. That hell is a loss of self-esteem. Okay, if it's just a loss of self-esteem, that's not so bad. But in hell, it's a totally different place. Okay? Now, what is a man like in hell? Someone who has never trusted Christ. Number one, you will realize last week I just went through already, but I went through again. I'll just overlap and go through quickly. The Bible says in verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Okay, in hell a person can see. You will be able to see in hell. Okay, you will be able to see in hell, number one. Number two, you will be able to recognize faces. Father Abraham, he actually recognized Father Abraham. Okay, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. There's a desire to be relieved. Can you imagine there's a desire to be relieved in hell? And you will never get that relief. Okay? The person in hell will never get relief. He desires for it, but he'll not going to get relief from that. And the Bible says, for I'm tormented in this flame, in verse 24, he can feel pain. He can feel pain in hell. Okay? He could feel, in verse 23, being in torments. He can actually desire relief, and then he can feel pain in hell. In verse 25, he has memory. I think this is probably the worst thing a person in hell has, his memory. Because the Bible says here, in verse 25, after the rich man asked Abraham for relief, Abraham had to tell him, son, remember that thou in your lifetime. In other words, everyone who goes to hell has a memory of this lifetime. Every single thing that he's ever done. But you know what's the most scourging thing for him? The fact that he rejected Christ as his personal Savior. Or he rejected the message of the gospel. Okay? Because in hell is a place that someone have said, there are no... Everyone is a believer in hell. Not a Christian, but everyone is a believer in hell. Everyone that goes to hell is a believer. You know why? They believe after. But all along, perhaps in life, they never believe in hell. Or all along, they never believe that there's such a thing in hell. And therefore, what's the need of the Lord Jesus Christ? But in hell, everyone is a believer. Okay? It's a believer. So he has memory about this life. And you know, one of the things which is quite interesting, because in verse 26... In verse 26, the Bible says, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Okay, we know that this is a useful verse about purgatory, which means that once it's fixed, is you cannot pass from thence. The Bible says, so that they which will pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, they will come from thence. All right? Now, in the purgatory teaching, it's very clear that when you go to hell, you get your sins burned up, and then after you go to heaven. God says, no, once you're there, that's your eternal address, full stop. You're not going to change house. There's no HDB to give you the listing that you can buy a new one. All right? You're not going to move house. You're going to stay there eternally. But notice what happened in 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now, why did he do that? Is it possible in hell people can still be concerned? And I think that in hell, there's only one concern. There's only one concern in hell. Lord, please make sure my family members don't come here. There's the only time that you do not want to be reunited. You think about that. Is it possible? Maybe, I heard a message one time. An evangelist was saying, is it possible there are more prayer meetings in hell than there are in heaven, than there are on earth? They were not concerned to come to pray. You know, one of the things I like us, I want to encourage Ambassador Baptist Church to have their heart for souls, that when we pray in prayer requests, not just about our needs, but about, what about the lost? Yeah, we may suffer a few pains and aches, and our needs are important, don't get me wrong. But you know what? We need to have a heart to pray for souls. Is it possible in hell there are more prayer meetings for lost people than there are on earth? But we need to come together to pray. We need to come together to pray for lost souls. A genuine believer has definitely a care. Our Savior lived for lost souls. And everywhere He went, the Bible says He went everywhere preaching the word. We need to have a concern. But you know, people in hell are concerned. They are able to feel, in fact, they are able to feel the consequences so much that, you know what, you say, I pray thee. The word pray means I beg thee, Father Abraham, because I got 5 brothers upstairs that please send someone, send Lazarus back if possible, that they may warn my brothers. The care, the person will be care, will care in hell as well. You know, all the more for us as Christians, we need to care more. Amen? We need to be caring. Right? If we do not have the care for lost souls, if we do not have a care for lost souls, can I just say that we need to love the Lord more. Oh, we need to love the Lord more. We need to be reaching out for lost souls in our love, in our kindness, in the things that we do. And I don't know how to impress upon people except to pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon our hearts deeply that souls are dying, going to hell. That people would risk their lives to tell people about Christ. Okay? Because in hell, people can still care. Okay? But it's interesting though, look at verse 28 to 30. After the rich man in hell told Abraham, send the people back, send Lazarus back to tell them about Christ. And then Abraham gave him the answer in verse 28. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I preached many, many times on this passage. But every time I read, God gives me further insight into what He wants me to understand. Do you realize one thing? Moses and the prophets, just have a seat. Moses and the prophets were the Old Testament, that the Jews have, okay? The Old Testament that the Jews have. Now, Abraham actually told the rich man in hell, in the Old Testament, during that time, you realize that this Jewish man was a religious person because he said, Father Abraham. So he knew who Abraham was, all right? But there was one problem with his life. Many people have said, let me say this. This man is in hell not because he was rich. Let's make it clear. A person who is rich doesn't mean automatically he go to hell. The Bible did say it is harder for them to go to hell. All right? We went tracking on Wednesday, and every time we knock on the door and say, no, not interested, not interested, not interested. One of the things we over the years, hopefully as we track, we can have a profile of the place. If you go to a 2 or 3 room, no indication of their socioeconomic status, but you know what? A person who is slightly poorer, who may have a lower income group, may be more open to the gospel. But when you go to executive mansionettes and when we knock on the doors, for example, in the 800s, I say, not interested, not interested. What, they have a nice house, big 40-inch TV, and everything is nice. And they have no desire for the word of God. And it's interesting how Jesus did say how hardly is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. But you know, all the more we need to pray for them. All the more we need to pray with them. Does that mean rich people cannot be saved? Obviously not. Okay? Who? Barnabas was a rich man in the Bible. Did you know that? Barnabas sold his house and his land and gave it all to the Lord and served God full time. Okay? He realized that riches in life is not as important as who Jesus was. Okay? But he was in hell, not because he was rich, but within here, in verse 29-30, the problem that this rich man had is a condition of the people of the lost in hell. You know what was his condition? The Bible says, after Abraham said in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Verse 30, he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, this rich man is telling Abraham, you are telling me that my brothers will listen to the Bible? Ah, that's not going to work. If you give them some signs and wonders, if you give them a good feeling, if you give them an experience, oh, they may listen." You know what's the problem with this rich man in hell? He didn't want to listen to the Bible. He just did not want to listen to the Bible. Notice what Abraham said in verse 31. And he said unto them, Luke 16:31, those who just came in, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Christians, do you realize one thing? This is so important. Can I say, in a church, or in an evangelism of the gospel, you cannot get someone saved without the gospel, without the word of God. Because your faith is not in what I say, not in your experience in church, but in faith in God's word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life. The gospel must be shared. That's why we have tracts. That's why we teach the Bible systematically. That's why your faith is not based on the creeds of men. Your faith is not based on what Brother Johnny said. Your faith is based squarely on God's word. This rich man did not want to hear God's word. And you know, there's a condition of people in hell. They remain unrepentant. You know what that means? The drunkards, they are in hell. They will keep on wanting to drink. You know why? They do not have the new nature in them to change. Can you imagine wanting to drink and never getting drink forever? Can you imagine a drug addict in hell that doesn't want to change? And forever and ever, they will crave the drugs. They will go through withdrawals for the rest of eternity. Because they are unable to change, because the new nature is never given to them, because they rejected God's offer of grace. Does that make sense? Can you imagine forever and ever, those people who were steeped in their own belief system, they will keep on wanting, but it's not going to give them relief, and they realize they're in hell, and they realize their beliefs are not going to save them. Because they've rejected Christ. They remain unrepentant. This is one of the surest, this is one of the most terrible conditions, because a non-believer who goes to hell will go to hell in the condition he left heaven, he left earth. In other words, if he has aches and pains in his body, he will remain there for the rest of his life because he's never going to be given a new body. His body will never be burned because he's immortal. But you know what? He will forever suffer those things. Forever and ever and ever. It doesn't bring tears to your eyes, Christians. Our compassion need to increase a lot. When a person goes to hell, yeah, we may lose some money. Yeah, we may have aches and pains. Yeah, we may have frustration in our work. But what if a soul goes to hell? Brother Johnny, are you saying our life mission is to win people to Christ? Bible says yes. But you know what? Many Christians are not making this a priority. This is one of the highest priorities of a Christian life. Ah, Brother Johnny, I'm not in full time. I know. Many people in the Bible are not in full time, but the Bible says, Acts chapter 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere preaching. And they were normal. Not in full time. I want to encourage us, because these people, when they go to hell, they're not going to be able to change even if they want to. There's one saying that some people believe that hell is for a short term. I'll just jump the gun a little bit about the duration of hell. And they say, well, God is not going to send people. God is such a God of love. He's not going to send people to hell forever. All right? God is such a God of love, right? Jehovah's Witness believe that. Many people believe that. And so there will be one situation. There'll be one time. Let's say if a person dies now, do you realize there'll be one time they'll get out of hell? There'll be one time they'll get out of hell. What's that time? Sorry, at the great white throne. Say, that's it? God is a God of love. Of course, he's not going to leave me in hell forever, you know. Little did he know that he's going to face God for the final sentencing, that God will consign him forever to the lake of fire. Oh, pray. We need to pray for our loved ones, okay? These people will remain unrepentant in hell, which means that every filthy thought, every evil thought, you will hear cursings in hell. You'll hear cursings in hell. You hear the words that they use on earth in hell. The cursings and the vileness. But you know, there are many, many characteristics of hell we didn't mention, but one of the things is outer darkness. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place that the person in hell will never be able to see another face. Can you imagine that? Being in hell and you will never be able to see another face. You know, some of us hopefully yearn to come to church because then you can see your friends, to be encouraged. You know, in hell, you will never receive another encouraging word from anyone because there's no emails in hell. And there's no Singtel in hell. Okay, there's no M1. There's no data plan in hell. Communication is cut forever. And you know, if you for us as Christians, sometimes we may just need to stop our busy lives, spend a few moments on some of the essential doctrines of the Bible, and realize if Jesus is that real and He teaches us what is real from the Bible, we need to realize that people in hell are not going to be able to get any relief whatsoever. And for us who, maybe that's why Christians go out all the more strongly to want to share the gospel with some people. Why? Lest they come into this place of torment. Okay? So any questions there? Quite heavy stuff, but you know what? The Bible is very, very serious about hell. So must we. You know, Christians, we don't threaten people with hell, alright? We beg them. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon was my good friend. He says this: if anyone will go to hell, let them go over hell. Let them climb over our bodies. In other words, we will do all we can to stop them. We'll do all we can to stop them. If we think our lives are more important, no, Christ has saved us. But what about people who are not saved? What about our children who are not saved? Well, our friends are not saved. You know what Spurgeon said? If someone were to go to hell, oh, may they, if they have to push us away, may we stand our ground as strongly as we can and say, no, don't go there. Plead with them. And if they want to go, finally, it's their choice. But you know what? May no one go to hell. May no one go to hell because, may no one go to hell without being tried, without a Christian trying to stop them. Okay? Because when they go there, they're not coming out. All right? So, okay, any questions on the characteristics of a man in hell? These are just general, but there are many others. But these are just basically a person, the way he died on earth. He will wake up in hell in the same condition, unchanged, for the rest of eternity. Okay? Any questions? Feel free to ask, all right? If you're not too sure, or something goes in your mind, or you've heard this, clarify this, okay? Let's just go on. If you have any question, we can backtrack, we can rewind, all right? Who are the inhabitants in hell? Let's turn to a few passages. Who will be staying in hell? All right, let's turn to Revelation 19. Maybe I'll just give you, maybe Sister Joyce, you can turn to Revelation 19, verse 20. Then our brother Mike can turn to Revelation 20, verse 10. Then if Sister Elizabeth, is it possible for you to take to Psalm 9, 17? Then Brother Taelong, if you can take we'll stop there first, okay? Because we want to go through, some of the passages are pretty full. Okay, who are the inhabitants in hell? Revelation 19, 20. Just very quickly, I just give you a sequence of events of the end of this world. This is preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the next event on God's calendar? What's the next event that's going to happen to this world and not God's calendar? The rapture. The rapture is going to happen, okay? Once the rapture happens, that will start what? 7 years of tribulation. That was prophesied in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. That was prophesied in Revelation as well. Okay, there will be 7 years of tribulation, and during this time of the tribulation, there will be the unholy trinity that will be on planet Earth. Who are they? Unholy trinity, the beast, the false prophet, and the antichrist. Okay, so they have Satan himself will also be among this. But you know what? At the end of the 7 years, God is going to deal with these two first. Satan is not dealt with first, interestingly, but God is going to deal with the false prophet, and he's going to deal with the beast. Okay, the false prophet is the one that encourages the beast. Okay, he wants to point to the beast. The beast is supposed to have supernatural powers. to even raise people from the dead during the 7 years of tribulation, thereby deceiving many people and saying, wow, this person can do mighty miracles. All right. Apparently, the beast will be assassinated in the 7 years of tribulation, and he was raised to death, and everyone will see him alive, and there's no problem because of satellite TV, because of handphones and whatever. The whole world will see the beast being alive, okay? And everyone will worship him, and then the beast will impose Revelation 13. Everyone will have to bear the mark 666, otherwise you will not buy, you will not sell. Which means that you won't even be able to get a mineral water from NTUC, because what they're going to do is that if you don't have the mark here and the mark here, they're going to scan, okay, what's your personal identification? Credit card not accepted anymore, okay? MasterCard has gone out of business, okay? There's only one world system, all right, with the right-hand identification and your mark here, all right? But this will be controlled by the beast and the false prophet. And at the end of 7 years, God said that he's going to throw the first inhabitants into hell. Not hell, the lake of fire. Okay? And so, if any, some people say, nah, brother Johnny, I want to go to hell. All my friends are. Well, some of your friends will be the false prophet and the beast. They will be staying there, all right? That's the first inhabitant of hell. In fact, they will be the very first people to be thrown there. Okay? The second one, Revelation 20, verse 10. Okay, the second person will be Satan himself. He will be cast into a lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. All right? So, false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan. By the way, the false prophet and Antichrist are human beings. Some people believe they are already alive today, preparing for the second coming. I don't know about you. I hope you love God's return. I hope you love His return. I hope you think that tomorrow Christ is coming soon. Because he just might, all right? There's a lot of prophecies right now being literally fulfilled before us. I want to keep on reminding us, not to give us a paranoia, Jesus is coming soon, you know, but to say, hey, the Lord said He's coming soon. He is coming soon. You realize so many prophecies are being fulfilled even right now with Israel and Iran. I'll bring that again because our focus, we need to pray for the peace of Israel. But you know what? The latest one was Iran, no? Remember in the Obama administration had pulled out U.S. troops from Iraq, right? So all the American troops have been pulled out from Iraq. Israel was secretly hoping that they would still keep the troops in Iraq. You know why? One of Iranian's plans is for Iranian troops to walk through Iraq to attack Israel. But with the U.S. forces there, they may be able to stop them. With the U.S. forces pulled out, Iran has a clear path straight to Israel if ever there was an attack. Things are being opened up right now. The whole Middle East situation is so volatile, okay? Israel is definitely planning for an attack, okay? No matter what they say, no matter what kind of negotiations, peace will never come to the Middle East until Jesus Christ comes back. And that is something that we need to understand. Many people say, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, if you don't believe in the rapture, then the Israel, Iran, we don't even have to worry about it. But it's been prophesied in Ezekiel 37, 38, Revelation, and it's happening before our eyes. Jesus is coming back soon. You know what? Can I just say this? During the 7 years of tribulation, if you study the Bible, you realize God has planned three sets of seven judgments that by the end of the first, more than half the world's population will die. The reason is not because God is cruel, because God is dealing with sin. A man's rebellion against God. Revelation chapter 9, the last two verses, you will find that even after God deals with man, you know what God's, you know what men say? I'm not going to listen to you, God. Okay, so I just want to bring that. Inhabitants of hell, Satan. Okay, Satan will be there. Psalm 9, 17, the next inhabitant of hell. The Bible says all the nations that do not put God in their consciousness. Example, North Korea. Example, China. Example, some of these people. All the leaders of this nation will be placed in hell. Why? Because God says all the nations, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. God's not playing games. When we reject God, we reject it at our eternal cost. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. I'll give you another group of people who will be in hell. Okay? There are three big groups that Jesus identified And can I say this? I am merely telling you what God said. Those people, they'll be in hell. And I want to make it clear, these are the people who have been doing these things as a trend in their habit, but they, when they're shown the gospel, they refuse to change. They just refuse to turn away, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And so Paul starts off with, don't you know those people who continually do wrong will not inherit God's kingdom? Don't be deceived. Don't be bluffed by people. Neither fornicators, the word fornication means all immorality, all kinds of immorality. It could be visual pornography, it could be any type of pornography, it could be any type of immorality. Everyone that actively engages in that, those 40 men that were charged, you know, are being charged right now one by one. Okay, some has already planned to plead guilty. If they do not change and change their life and commit them to Christ, they will be in hell. That's what the Bible says. All forms of immorality, whether it's before marriage, after marriage, within marriage, whatever you want to do that is wrong, whether it's visual, audio, all kinds of filthiness, because the word fornicators here comes from the Greek word porneia, which we get pornography from. All right? And so God says, those people involved in all kinds of immorality will be in hell. Number two, nor idolaters. People involved in worshipping of idols and putting other things before God. Okay? God says all those people who worship idols, the Bible says idolaters will be in hell. Not adulterers, people involved in immorality within marriage, but they are involved. You know, when you read, I don't know about you, but when you read the newspaper cuttings, those people, many of them charged. Or married people. Men, you have only one wife for the rest of your life. That is God's plan. That is God's rule. We do not play around. We do not read. We do not do anything to encourage our lustful desires. That's why we need to be in submission to the Holy Spirit. But men, if you do not have Christ in your hearts, you have no control over yourself. You know, as a Christian, you may not even have control over yourself. You do not submit actively to the Holy Spirit. Okay, it is very, very important. And I believe with all my heart, your wife has given you everything, meaning that she's given you her entire life. Don't go look for someone who's just in for the money. Young people, as you grow up, you remember this. When you get married, one man, one woman, for the rest of your life, and very importantly, this is my thinking, and I believe it to be right. Your wife is God's best for you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, guys. Your wife is God's best for you. There's no one else. There is no one else. But Brother Johnny, my wife can't really cook. That is not the issue. When God put her in your life, that is the only one that you're going to have for the rest of your life, and treat her well. That's God's will. That's God's will. Okay? And for the treating well one, vice versa, wife, you need to treat your husband well too. Amen? In fact, God says a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, would treat her husband kindly the rest of his life. Amen, husbands? Okay, some of us are blessed, body, soul, and spirit, right? All right, but you know what? Don't be involved in this way. You know, the more I read the newspaper, the more as pastor, I feel the need to ensure the next generation grow up with pure principles. Ladies, don't lose your purity before you're married. Don't allow anyone to touch you in any way, shape, or form. That is not against God's will. The whole area of physical touch is only within the bounds of marriage. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. That is very, very important, because if you do not want to encourage the wrong feelings before marriage, okay? For the youth and the teens, you're going to have that burger relationships probably later when our newlyweds come back. And we're going to have a seminar on that. But you know what? It's so important for me to emphasize that. Just as a drunkard begins with one drink, morality begins with your first touch. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. And parents, teach the right thing. Don't give place to the devil, all right? Because we will never know where we'll end up, all right? So, but here the Bible says those people in hell are people involved in immorality within the bonds of marriage, which is wrong. Nor effeminate. You know what's effeminate? Huh? No? No? Effeminate? And we think it's fun. We think it's... There was one time I was walking behind Jalan Besar, because that was where Victoria School is. Last time I was from there. And from far, my eyesight not very good. So I was this lady was trying, you know, and was walking. It was obvious it was on high heels, okay? Like 3 inch or 4 inch. I don't know. What's the maximum inch? 5 to 6. How? I don't know. Anyway, this person walking with high heels, and it was obvious he just couldn't balance. Until when I walked past, I looked. You know how when you saw something, you look a second time, you know? And I realized it wasn't a lady, it was a man dressed up as a lady. You know what God says? Effeminate people who say, those people who say, oh, God made it this way. And therefore, I just want to express myself. It's a whole trade in Thailand right now. Right? The transvestite trade. You realize one thing? If they say they are made that way, they are blaming God. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God made male and female. Clear? God is very clear. I made man and female. I didn't make half. Although there are clinical, medical, it's called Klinefelter's syndrome, whereby this particular person is so warped by the genetic problem that they both have the female and the male reproductive organs in the same body. And I can tell you, those people, I saw a particular, I want to say girl, but I can't because it's girl and boy together. I saw this particular child. You know what's an indication? If it actually happens that way, I saw a child 3.5 years old, functioning at 3 months. They cannot even sit. Clinical diagnosis, Klinefelter syndrome. Okay, at 3.5 years, she couldn't even respond to you. You know, like Sharon can respond, right? At 6 months now? 5 months? About 5-6 months? You can respond, you can laugh, you can get joy. But you know what? At 3.5 years, this Klinefelter syndrome is just a grief to the parents. Why? Everywhere she goes, she has to be carried. It's a problem with the genetic pool because of sin. But you know what? Those effeminate, the Bible says, will be in hell. Okay? People, men who think themselves to be women and behave in that sort of manner. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's a big sentence. You know what? Who they refer to? They refer to the homosexuals. You know, it's a sad thing. We have homosexual churches in Singapore. I say, oh, God understands everyone. On the authority of God's word, the homosexual crowd, if they refuse to change, based on God's word, will be in hell. That's what the Bible says. I don't like to say this, but you know what? This is true. You know what? We need to share the word with them. But I can tell you many homosexuals have found the power of God to break out of their sin and be able to stand strong. And now they are reaching their own kind. Not their own kind. No, they're a different kind now. But they're reaching those group of people. God says these people will be in hell. I can go to jail for this. But you know what? If that's what God says, then let's stay with what God says. The world will give you a lot of philosophies today. Stay with what God says. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, I believe. 12 to 14, that passage. Right, the next people, verse 10. Nor thieves, those who steal and continue to steal. Kleptomaniacs, people who steal impulsively. Or they go to jail, because they have a psychiatric disorder. You know what? Everything blame God now. I steal, I blame God. I have this immorality, I blame God. I kill someone, I blame God. Because everything is down to psychiatric mental illness. There was this guy in, I think he was a German, I can't remember, the one that killed 70 over people. Remember the one who says he wants to purge society and all that, remember? And he says that even if he's given a life again, he's going to kill again. That guy, he doesn't want people to think he's mad. I'm glad he does that, because that's sin. His murder is sin. But you know what? He has no remorse over what he has done. No matter what you do, killing is definitely a lousy way to go. But you know what? He remains unrepentant. You know, the Bible says that thieves will be in hell. Nor covetous. Covetous are people who live for the things of this world and want things that they don't have. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Revilers are people who swear and curse. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is what God says. There's about 10 groups of people God says won't be in heaven. There's groups that say everyone will be in heaven. No, God says, God just named 10 groups of people that will not be in heaven. Don't be deceived. Brother Johnny, does that mean that they won't be saved? Does that mean that we cannot reach them with the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? I like this. I'm sure you're there, but look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Amen? Such were some of you. Maybe not within here, but Paul was telling the Corinthian church, these 10 groups will not be in heaven, but such were some of you. Were, past tense, amen? You are new. You are able, by the power of the gospel, God is able to change you. So when a person says, you know, God made me like that, you need to accept. No, God says, no, I want to change you. You know what, as Christians, you know the power of the gospel is to take a drug addict and change that person. Not our power, but only God can change that person, amen? A person that's totally given up to drugs, and God is able to take that soul and change that person. Only the power of God. God is able to take someone who's immoral, someone who is so filled with himself. God says, I'm going to put humility in that life, save that life, change that person's life, and totally change that person. Totally change that person. You know, this verse is encouraging because you know what? No sin is beyond help. Amen? No sin is beyond help. And Christian, that goes for us too. Some of us say, oh, bro, Johnny, I'm just like that. My situation cannot be changed. If you say that, you don't believe in the power of God. If God can change, God can make the sun stand still for Joshua to win the fight. And if God can, remember in Isaiah's time, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, God moved the shadows, 15 degrees backwards. In other words, he shifted the whole planet just to answer a prayer. Don't think God cannot do anything. Some of you, myself, are a miracle of God's grace. That God has changed us completely. Yeah, we may still have lingering problems. Yeah, amen. We'll never be perfect in this life. But you know what? We're certainly moving on to perfection by God's grace. Oh, we should never, never think that we are good. But we must always think God is good. And God has changed us. And so the encouragement from Paul is, but we see that there are many groups of people that are in hell. Revelation 21, another group of people that will be in hell. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Note down some of these things so that you can take note of, all right? This is one of the biggest groups in Singapore. Revelation 21 verse 8. But the fearful. If I become a Christian, what will my parents think? What will my friends think? I lose everything I have. But the fearful, those who are afraid. I'm not talking about afraid of kachua and afraid of lizard. That's not the fearful here. But those who are fearful are making a stand for Christ. The fearful will be in hell. You know why? They don't want to come to Christ. Because they are afraid that they will lose what they have. Number one. Number two, the unbelieving. Those who believe but do not want to. Those who believe but do not want to put their complete faith in Christ. That's interesting, isn't it? Those who say, oh, I believe in Christ but do not want to put a complete faith. If you do not put your faith in Christ, you have no salvation. That's as clear as it. The unbelieving. And the abominable. The abominable are people who are involving in sin. Okay, I think the lawyer Sabas Anand was calling this underage girl who was involved in all this immorality a hardcore whoever. But you know what? There are many other people who are involved in that as well. Anyone who is involved in sin, it doesn't have to be immorality. It could be any kind of sin. The abominable, the people involved in sin, the mafia groups, for example, the live to kill, for example, the terrorists, for example. I'm not just naming them for fun, but God says those people who are involved in sin continuously will find their place in hell. Murderers, killers of people, listen, killers of people, and those who live with hate. Because God says if you hate someone, you are a murderer. Okay? If we live with hate in our hearts, we may not kill someone, but we'll kill cats, we'll kill ants, we'll destroy things. And you know, if you have a child, how many of you, I'm sure you wouldn't say that, but how many of you have heard this before? If I see that guy again, don't let me see this guy. What do you think he said there? My friend, huh? Angry, yeah. When my friend said this in joke, he said, if I see you again, I'll rearrange your face so much your parents won't recognize you. Okay, that's what he said. It was just a joke. Don't use that. Don't quote me, all right? But you know what? Anger leads to kill, right? Many people, they call it crimes of passion. No, it's murder. It's not crimes of passion, it's murder. Okay? You know what? The Bible says murderers will be in hell. And people who live in hate. Whoremongers are people involved. The pimps, for example, those people who sell and those people involved in it. The sorcerers. Now, who are these sorcerers? The sorcerers, the word sorcerer there in the Bible comes from the word pharmakoia, which we get pharmacy from. You know what the sorcerers are? People involved in drugs. Modern day, because why? The idea of pharmacy had the idea of mind altering, changing the mind. Okay, when you take drugs, your mind is changed. You feel high and all that. And similarly, when you're involved in things like drugs and all that, it changes your mind. That's why it comes from the same root word. Those people who are involved in drugs, involved in witchcraft, sorcerers. Because when you're involved in witchcraft, your mind changes. And those people will be in hell, the Bible says. Okay? Idolaters, we talked about that before. All liars, everyone who lie and habitually lie. No, I didn't do it. Parents, when our children lie, don't laugh. Spank them. I said it with all my heart. You know why? Because if you laugh when they lie, you are training them to lie. You are saying that it's okay to lie. Spank them. I will not allow that in my family. Why? Because the Bible says I always with tears in my eyes tell my children when they lie, do you realize all lies will be in hell? And if you continue that, you will be in hell. Parents, no longer do we play games with our children's behavior. We need to realize and see our children from God's perspective. Because, can I say this? Is it possible that some of our children will be in hell because as parents we do not take the necessary Bible stand? I say that with all my heart because there will be many children in hell. Many children in hell. Because parents, we don't stand on what God says. God says all liars will be in hell. All liars will be in hell. If our children lie on a consistent basis, we're in big trouble. Oh yeah, you may say they have made a profession of faith. But many people made professions of faith are found in hell. Because their hearts are not changed by the power of God. Oh Christians, please take note of this. All liars will be in hell. Shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Another group of people will be in hell, Matthew 23, verse 29. Just very quickly. Just take note of these things that I have said. Warn to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build tombs of prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if you had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto themselves. Matthew 23, verse 31 now. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? You know who Jesus is talking about? He called them snakes. What is a characteristic of a snake? Usually they say as sly or as subtle as a snake, serpent. Okay? Jesus is referring to religious hypocrites. People like myself. If I do, when I preach this, but at home I do something different, God calls me a religious hypocrite. I put up a show for everyone to see, and at home, I practice a different life. Parents, two things I want to highlight again and again. That many youth today are living Christ. Firstly, the hypocrisy of youth leaders. And number two, the hypocrisy of parents at home. I say that about myself too. That I would say something in church, I do something else. And many children do not want to follow Christ anymore because of our religious hypocrisy. Oh, Christian, live consistent with the Bible. Because if we preach this in church and we do something else at home, and our children is in the middle, you guys cannot even sort out what is right and wrong. Forget it. I just heard from someone today, yesterday, that another of our independent Baptist pastors has their children going off to a Pentecostal charismatic church. Will your children be next? Because the world is so attractive. I say this with all my heart because the next generation will be so hard to live for Christ. The people say this shall have their part in the lake of which burneth fire. Religious hypocrisy on the outside. People can see that we are involved in religion, but inwardly there is no change. Inwardly there is no change. The next group of people, they will be in hell. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God. You know, those who are rich will find themselves in hell. This rich man was in hell. Oh, thank God I'm not rich. Well, you can also lust for riches if you're not rich. Have you seen many people at the NTUC in Sun Plaza? Where? Behind the Toto booth, 4D? Some people dress in tie. Some people got iPad. And some people wear shorts and slippers. The rich and the poor can lust for these things. The riches. The Bible says the rich people will not be in hell. Will be in hell. In John chapter 8, verse 24. Let's return there. This is a very important verse. John 8, 24. These people will be in hell. And that's the final thing for these people. Or rather, the reason why. Okay, John 8, 24. The Bible says, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. I said, therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's what Jesus says. Another group of people, they'll be in hell. Those who do not trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Brother Johnny, what does that mean to trust? The word trust is an action word. It's not a mental word. It's an action word. It's not an intellectual word. It's the word believe means I believe in something enough to do something about it. Example, I gave this illustration before. There was this guy who was on this the Niagara Falls, I believe, whereby there's this tight rope across the falls, okay? So there was this guy who was with this wheelbarrow, he was pushing the wheelbarrow across the line, just pushing it back, across the line, across over the Niagara Falls. So this guy standing here and saying, wow, not bad, huh? Wow. And then this guy, after he reached the edge, he looked at this guy and said, do you believe I can go around again? Go across again, Niagara Falls? Say, yeah, you've done it so many times, of course you can. You sure I believe? Yeah, I believe. Get in. I said, wait, you go. It's okay. I may believe, but if I'm not willing to put myself in that situation, you know, I don't really believe. I don't really believe. Do we believe in hell? Do we believe in hell? If we believe in hell, evangelism will be one of your top priorities as a Christian. And you will not give any reason why you will not go. I heard a missionary say once, everyone should go except God, unless God stops you. Those who do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior will be in hell. Oh, if you're here without Christ, I'm not going to force you. But can I say this? If this Bible is not true, then let's forget church. But if this Bible is true, do you realize how much implication is there out there for so many people who may not believe? There's something for us to think about. The duration of hell. How long will hell be? Matthew 25, verse 46. Okay, I'll just read. You just take down, okay? And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How long will hell be? Everlasting. Hell will be everlasting. I was reading a particular book on this particular teaching, and it says this, if hell wasn't eternal and only temporary, the all-knowing God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the biggest liar about hell if it is not true. I say that again. If hell is not eternal but only temporary, the all-knowing God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have been the greatest, biggest liar about hell if it's not true. And if hell is not eternal and only temporary, the all-knowing God will be the biggest fool in history to die the kind of death he did if hell was only temporary. Why pay the eternal infinite price for something that maybe happened only 10,000 years? Now I just suffer for 10,000 years and the rest of the time I disappear or go to heaven. You know what? If hell is not real, then we're okay. But if hell is, there are many people who believe in reincarnation, there are many people who believe in purgatory, There are many people who believe in annihilation. In other words, you just disappear after death. Now, if those three are true, I'll say this again, I'll say it again. If those three is reincarnation, annihilation, meaning that when you die, you just disappear into thin air. And another teaching is you go to hell, you get burned up for a while, and then you go to heaven. If this three is true, you know, Ambassador Baptist Church won't do too badly. You have nothing to worry about. Amen? But what if that's not true? And hell is real. All we need to awaken to that is a very important thing to think of. What are there are degrees in punishment in hell. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Some people ask 1 or 2 weeks ago, why did God have to sentence? Why does God take people up from hell and then sentence them at the great white throne again? The reason is this. There are degrees to hell. Degrees of punishment in hell. Just like if I steal a loaf of bread versus killing someone. All right. In modern day, probably maybe you just have to pay a fine. But you know what? If you kill someone, in Singapore, if you're convicted, you're mandatory death penalty. All right. Many countries of the world have taken that away. But you know what? That's very essential because it's Bible. Genesis 9 verse 6. Capital punishment is Bible. God gave the sword, Romans chapter 13, to government authorities to protect the safety of society there, okay? But degrees of punishment, Matthew 10:14, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You know, many of you who go tracting, I will tell you this, you know, when you knock on the door and people close the door, slam it in your face, just pray for them. You know why? Because of this verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know what this means? This means when we knock on the door and people say, my name is Johnny, I'm from church, the one. Psh! How many of you had this before? I'm from church, close the door. I'm from church, close the door. I'm from church, close the door. You know what Jesus says? Just leave him. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. How did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He rained fire from heaven and destroyed. Okay, archaeological findings actually said there was this place similar to the place of Sodom that the civilization ceased suddenly because God destroyed it. But Jesus said it would be more tolerable. In other words, people in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they face the judgment, will be able to tolerate hell compared to someone who has heard the gospel. Two lessons from there. Number one, present day for someone who rejects the gospel, God will actually have to deal with you more severely because you were given the opportunity. Number two, listen to this. Who was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. Lot. You know what's the implication? That if for Lot, it was more tolerable. Sodom and Gomorrah is more tolerable. You know what's the implication? Lot wasn't doing his job as a witness. Would Singapore be more tolerable in judgment compared to another country? Something for us to think about. Okay? In Acts chapter 1, verse 21, I'll just read. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, this is interesting. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have his own place in hell, especially for him. Okay? There are degrees in hell. I don't know how God is going to do that. All I know, God is a just God. He's going to mete out judgment according to his justice. But you know there are degrees of punishment in hell. Some objections very quickly to this doctrine. Number one, hell is inconsistent with the love of God. Okay, have you heard that before? If God is a God of love, how can you send people to hell? I have people from independent Baptist churches who SMS me, how can a God of love send people to hell? How can a father of love spank your children? That answers the same question, doesn't it? Do you realize hell wasn't made for us? But you know what? Hell shows that God is holy. Sin must be punished. Sin must be punished, okay? Number one. Number two, God will always give us a second chance, wouldn't he? He will always give us a second chance. That's another objection. God is God of love. Of course, he may be, we have done wrong. Yeah, like our parents, He always gives us a second chance. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, what does it say? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You've had your chance, 70 years. Okay, or those shorter, but you know you still have your chance. God has given us that chance. Number three, the third objection is this: God will make all things right again. Okay? God will make all things right again, Brother Johnny. You know, yeah, things may be terrible, and you know, we may be punished, but you know what? Just like a rehabilitation, there will be a time that things will be better again, right? The Bible did say, if there will be a day, like I said just now, if there will be a day that those who have done wrong will be let free after having been punished enough, whether on earth or the next, then what is the need for the Son of God to come and die the death that He died? Sin must be punished. I mentioned before, I mentioned again, all sin must be punished. Oh, listen to this. Teenagers, children, listen to this. Sin must be punished, every sin. And when we sin against God, you realize many times your parents have to bear the brunt of that sin. You know why? You grieve them, you hurt them. And parents, we hurt God when we don't do the right thing too. Oh, sin is so terrible. I was just, yesterday, one situation happened whereby someone forgets something. Okay? And I was just using this as an illustration. Someone forgot something. There was a particular item that this person had. It was a bicycle, okay? And so he was told time and again to remember to lock up the bicycle. But he didn't. And so what happened was, he went out to a place 1 hour, come down, bicycle stolen. All right? Now, one act of forgetfulness cost him a close to $200 bicycle. Time wasted trying to search for it. Perhaps heartache for the parent who worked hard to pay for that bicycle. Stress on his part because he was going to get punished. Reinforcement of the fact that there is a problem in his life. One act of forgetfulness, understand this. Sin has such ramifications, it's not funny. I remember, I think a few weeks back, we were having lunch here, I dropped a packet of rice. It might just be an act of dropping rice, but someone had to take the cloth and wring, and probably wipe 3-4 times. After cleaning the thing, he has to make sure it's not oily. Right? That means that person has to waste time and effort just to make things right again. That is the nature of sin. Sin always spreads and spreads and spreads. Don't ever think that when we do one thing, it only affects ourselves. It affects everyone around us. Oh, Christians, let's have a little bit more consideration for people. When we do something, it's wrong. It affects people around us, our family, ourselves, especially within the... No, God never made us isolated. He made us in groups, meaning that there's always that social implication. That's why God says that if you do something and offend someone, you don't have love in your heart. Love can only be experienced by someone else. Does that make sense? Sin is so terrible. Some of these people, can you imagine those men that were charged with having immorality? How do their wives feel? When the children go to school and realize it was their dad's face in the papers, and the friend, do you think the friends won't talk about that? What about the face of your own children when we sin? What about the price that you lost your salary now because you were fired from your job? The implication of sin. Yeah, this Brother Johnny, this is just, they just have to bear. Yes, they must, but can you see that sin spreads? Why do I preach so hard about sin? Because sin spreads. And some of you know what sin spreads. Anger spreads, destroys a family, do things they're not supposed to do. Sin. That's why Jesus came to die for that. Understand this as a Christian. Sin is so terrible. That's why we stay away from sin as far as we can. We don't even try to. Oh, just stay. It's okay. Well, have a bit of balance. No, as far as sin is concerned, or even semblances of sin, what did God say? Give no place to the devil. Abstain from what? All appearance of evil. Not evil, appearance. If it even smells of sin, walk away. You know why sin ultimately leads people to hell? Another objection, hell was only invented by men. To scare people into religion. I heard this before when I was working in KK, and someone said, Brother Johnny, don't scare... Not Brother Johnny, didn't call me Brother Johnny. Right, Johnny, don't scare people into hell. Scare me to embrace religion. If there was no hell, then there will be no need to be afraid of it. You don't have... Pastor John has mentioned this. How many of you will fight against the teaching? How many of you believe in tooth fairies? You know what's a tooth fairy? If you lost your tooth, you put it under your bed, I think, and then in the morning you find a present or a coin or something. Is that what tooth fairy or... I don't know. Is there any groups on the internet that says we're going to fight against the doctrine of the tooth fairy? No. But you know what? There are many people fighting out against God, against hell. You know why? Why? You know what? The very fact that they fight against that proves it is true. Men will not fight against something that is not true. There will be some quirky ones, yes. All right? But think about that. All right? Think about that for a while. Hell is not invented. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, if the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and we know that it is not real, then when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned hell, we don't have to be afraid of it. Okay? The word everlasting punishment, eternal, does not mean eternal. There are some people, some groups say, oh, Brother Johnny, everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Then what does it mean? The Bible says everlasting, it means everlasting. There are some groups that try to oh, it's the end. That's a JW teaching. Oh, the lake of fire is the end. No, it's not. It's a lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Unless my English is not so good. Okay? Okay. Personal reflection as we close, a few things. Number one, as you learn this doctrine of hell, I know it's a more intellectual teaching. One of the word of God needs to sink down in your hearts. Number one, you need to surrender to the Lord completely. In Isaiah chapter 6, remember Isaiah when he stood before the Lord and said, woe is me, for I'm undone. You will never see the reality of sin until God breaks down your heart about what sin is. Now, as I look back, I realize how much God has to deal with me with regards to my understanding of sin. Christians, you need to understand the sinfulness of sin. It does not mean you have to get involved to understand that. You need God to give you the understanding that sin is so sinful. When you understand how sinful sin is, then you'll realize how precious our Savior is, that He had to die. We need to surrender to the Lord completely, number one. Number two, we need to pray for lost ones daily. You know, your parents were not Christians. You need to pray for them every day, top priority. You know how long do you need to pray for your parents? 1 minute? 2 minutes? But make it a consistent priority. Lord, every time I put it in front of me, Lord, you need to save them with tears in your eyes. Because why God, because the devil has blinded their eyes to the gospel. And you know what? It is possible that sometimes God will actually withhold that salvation, not because He wants to, but because we haven't been doing much. Because God says, ask and you shall receive. But if you're not asking, God can't do anything. Okay? Plan to reach one day. This is practical, right? Plan to reach one daily with a tract or sharing the gospel. Just one. Is that possible? One? 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 I thank God I had a brother who says every week, or, you know what? This brother said, I'm going to try to reach, give out two tracts a week. You know what? If you're starting to do something for Christ with regards to tracting, or you know what? Start doing something. As a church, we have about 50 members. If everyone just gave one tract a day, 1 week we have covered 3 blocks without you going out tracting. Plus the tracting, we cover 600. And our 600 people have the gospel seed put into their hands. Yeah. Brother Johnny, I hope you understand. Time is short. Do something for someone with regards to the gospel. Yes, we have important duties to fulfill. But you know what? We have souls to reach as well. Okay? Plan that time. Just one. Just one. Okay? Just give a track. Learn to share the gospel. And I hope Ambassador Baptist Church, every member will know how to share the gospel. I've taught you. If you don't know, I can go through it with you again. Some of the brothers and sisters here, they have experience. Go to them. How do you share the gospel? You realize that when we did that a few weeks ago, some people say, hey, actually, I don't know what to say. And I hope that will not be true of us. Okay, learn to share the gospel. And then after that, towards our vision of being a disciple mission making church, you know what? You need to learn to be able to disciple a young convert. Someone who is young as a Christian, how to bring it up in the Lord. Be faithful to the local church so that there's a place you can bring the unbeliever to, or convert to, so that they can be among Christians who will help them to grow as well. Okay? Submit to and fully depend on the Holy Spirit to use you daily. We need to submit to the Holy Spirit every day. Say, put soul winning as part of your daily agenda. Lord, someone I can speak to Christ, or someone I can give the track to. I know we are all busy. My pastor used to say in Australia, if you are too busy to serve God, you are too busy. If there's not even a couple of minutes you can spare to give a track to someone. You know, some of us may be so involved. Some is by the nature of our work. But you know what? Some of us, we choose. We need to plan time for God's work as well. Okay, when I say that, I'm not saying that to put guilt trips on people, okay? But hopefully you know what I mean. We need to, God has given us 24 hours, a bit 8 hours for sleeping. I'm sure somewhere in the 16 hours that we work, we can spend 5 minutes just giving the check to someone. Or even SMSing someone a Bible verse. Or even telling someone about Christ. Thank God for saving our souls. That's not a practical thing. Thank God, God saved our souls. You know what? Thank God for the cross as we close. Any question? Next week we'll probably be talking a little bit about heaven, because the cross leads us to heaven. Okay? Any questions? Yes. Is a lake of fire in hell? Is a lake of fire in hell? The Bible says what? Hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. So it's opposite. Yes, let's turn to Revelation, all right? Hell, okay, I understand what you're saying. Hell itself, okay, in pure theological doctrine, based on the Bible, hell is a temporary holding place. Okay, let's turn to look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. Hell is a temporary holding place, kind of like when I went to overseas for training in the army, they would we have to meet at a particular camp first, and then they would dispatch us to the different places, the final places. Okay, so hell in itself. Okay, I think the confusion oftentimes is, oh, you use hell and lake of fire interchangeably. Okay, interchangeably means I can use hell and lake of fire, but in strict theological terms, okay, based on the Bible teaching, hell is a temporary place. Temporary. Okay, so when people die on earth, before the final judgment, they will go to this place, or holding place first, where they all still suffer, because that's what hell is. And then, after that, you'll go on to the final judgment at the great white throne. And then that's what God does. He takes the hell, temporary place, and throw it into a lake of fire, which is actually a permanent place, lake of fire. Does that make sense? Because in Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. Okay. So I think the confusion, many times, I use hell and lake of fire interchangeably. But in strict Bible terms, they are separate places. They're separate places. So hell itself is a temporary place. So sometimes, to be theologically accurate, you will have to say, the hell is this, the lake of fire is this. So the lake of fire is a permanent one. So hell is actually a temporary holding place for people in this life when they die. Does that make sense? So when they die on earth, and they have never trusted Christ, they'll go to this place called hell, where it's a holding place, temporary place. Then after that, at the final great white throne, hell will open up, they go to the great white throne, God will close this, throw it into the lake of fire as well, and those people whom he sentenced will also be thrown in the lake of fire. That's what God says. Right? Any other questions? That's an important point. Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we can have a break. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We ask you to impress on our hearts deeply about this teaching on hell. Lord, I ask you to guide us, not just guide us, oh Lord, help us to do something for someone on their way to hell. Lord, I pray that we will not have the attitude whereby, oh, it's just a Bible teaching, it doesn't really affect me. Because one day, Father, when we stand before the great white throne, not we as Christians, but when our friends and our loved ones and our visitors, God, I pray that may no one point a finger at us and say, you never warned me about this place. Lord, we know sin is terrible. But we're asking you, Lord, to help us. Help us do your will as a church, within our families, in our workplaces, in our schools. And Father, I pray for one who have never trusted Christ. Help them to see the things of this world are not as attractive, Lord, to the glories of heaven, that we will be enjoying it forever. Lord, I ask you to burn this truth into our life. God, may Ambassador Baptist Church, every single one, be praying for souls on a daily basis, whether our own or someone we're trying to reach. And God, may we believe to the point that we'll do something about it. Oh Lord, may you help us to see everyone we speak to on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in our daily lives about Christ. There is an eternal soul and an eternal destiny. And Father, unless we are convinced of that, but Lord, help us to realize the first step to evangelism is to loving you and to obeying you first. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, and we'll pray for the message afterwards as well. Speak to us in a precious way. Thank you for the visitors that come. Continue to encourage them and help them to see, Lord, life and truth from your perspective. Because the Bible tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from ourselves, free from our sin, and free from our fear to live for you. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.